KCSB FM Santa Barbara 91.9. KCSB News presents Inside Isla Vista, a weekly show covering an array of issues important to the Isla Vista community. The mission of the show is to educate, inform, and raise awareness about what's happening in Isla Vista. It does not endorse any political candidates or ballot initiatives. There's a different host each week. Let's meet tonight's host on Inside Isla Vista.
Good evening. This is Inside Isla Vista on KCSB 91.9 FM. I'm Lieutenant Mark Signa from the UCSB Police Department, and thank you for joining us. Inside Isla Vista airs Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on KCSB and in Spanish language on the final Wednesday of the month. Tonight, we are going to be talking about two topics. Briefly, we'll touch base on Deltopia and Lisa Osborne, the woman with the power of the mic here behind the glass.
The power to turn off and on your microphone.
Oh, she controls all.
You're going to be kind to me, right?
I will never say you don't have the control because, okay. Well, you got the switch.
But you do have all the information on Deltopia because you were there.
I was there. There and wandering about aimlessly at times, but it was a good time. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then later we're going to be joined by Corporal Matt Stern from the UCSB Police Department, and we're going to talk about the issue of bikes and Isla Vista, a small topic, something we pretty much everybody has run into probably at one point.
And hopefully not been run into by the bike.
Yeah, sadly, probably a few of that too. But first, let's talk a little bit about Deltopia and what's been going on this last weekend, how it went, what went right, what went wrong, where are we going to go from here? Well, to start off with, overall, I have to say it was a safe weekend. There were a few incidents, a few minor things happened.
A young woman fell off a balcony?
Luckily, it was minor injuries.
40 feet
onto the beach. And she landed, and she apparently has some minor injuries, but she's going to be okay. So to me, that's a great thing that it's going to be okay. Bad thing, it happened. And it kind of highlights some of the concerns and the issues we have as far as these balconies, the cliffs, alcohol, and just the desire to party sometimes overwhelms people and stuff happens. And it doesn't make for a good time for anybody who was there and had to witness it.
What about the size? You had more people than last year, right?
We did. A few more people. This year, they were estimating about 6,000 to 8,000 people came in, were here for Deltopia. That includes students, locals, and people from out of town. I couldn't tell you what the breakdown was percentage-wise, who was in out of town, who was local and all that, but there was definitely an uptick in the number of people and the number of out-of-towners here this year. Last year, we had about 3,500, so almost doubling the size of the people we had, which is unfortunate. That's not the direction.
3,500 is over 6,000. Wow, that is a lot.
Yeah, not the direction we wanted to go with this. We want to keep it a local event. So that's going to be some of the questions we're looking at in the next year here is, okay, how do we go back to making sure this stays a local event and really getting the students involved and active with the idea of keep it local? The more people we have from out of town, the more problems we have. So it's not the good trend we want.
Yeah, and then you had an officer that was hurt as well.
Yes. That was an instance of he was going after a person with an open container of alcohol. The person ran, and as a result, the officer was injured. They did arrest the subject. He ran to a house. They called him. He wouldn't come out for a half hour. They tried to get him out of the house, and eventually they had to send in a canine dog.
That's what I wanted to know. Was it Odin, the new canine? Did you break Odin in to Isla Vista?
I guess Odin got his introduction to Ivy in the student capacity here.
Oh, he's a beautiful German Shepherd. Oh, wow.
We have one that comes in from State Parks for us. It helps us out at the university, and that is a fantastic dog. It's amazing. If you ever get a chance to watch canines and how they practice and train, canine trainers love showing off the work they do with them and what they do. It's amazing backstories on that. In fact, that'd be a great topic someday, maybe.
Let's do it.
So that's what we're looking at as far as Isla Vista this year, and got kind of a little bit of crazier than the previous years. We want to tone it down a little bit more, make it a little more casual, relaxed, like it has been the last couple of years. So how are we going to do that? That's going to be the big question. Big shout out, though. Must do a big shout out for UCIV, the students out there again.
It's the students and the foot patrol who come together for events like this, right?
Absolutely. The students are absolutely fantastic. Associate students gets together. They have the UCIV program where the students go out there. They patrol up and down the streets. They go up and hey, this might be a problem here. You guys be careful. They warn about loud parties and warn the people at the party saying, hey, this might be a violation. Be careful. It's just basically students watching over students, helping each other out. And an interesting conversation I had with a couple of them was that over the first couple of years, it was kind of a little, uncomfortable and people weren't really sure. But people are really opening up to it and really accepting the fact that, hey, these are your peers helping you out, getting you out of situations that might involve tickets or arrests or things like that. So that's a win-win for everybody. And quite honestly, I like the fact that if we can go out there and not make arrests and not have to write citations, it's, again, a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, that's for sure. So anything else with the Deltopia? Otherwise, I want to turn the show over to you and your guest, Mark Cigna, Lieutenant Mark Cigna.
I'm the guest myself.
I was going to interview myself.
Yeah. Corporal Matt Stern. I'm sorry. I got to pay attention to these things.
This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. I know you come here, Mark, and it's just like you're having a one-on-one conversation with whoever it is that you're in the studio with, and it's always so fun to have you here. So
I have a blast doing this, and I appreciate being asked back. So apparently I haven't said the bad word on the radio yet, so I haven't been nailed.
Thank goodness.
So I will be careful about that.
Yes.
But let's hope for better hope for next year and keep things calm. We'll work with the students on that and the community members. But for now, let's talk about another issue that's here in Isla Vista that is really kind of affects everybody. If you drive a car, ride a bike, or a pedestrian, and everybody's one of those at some point, you're going to have sometimes issues with bikes in Isla Vista. There's so many of them. And how do we deal with that? So let me introduce Corporal Matt Stern from the UCSB Police Department.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to try not to say any curse words myself.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Which, generally, he doesn't at all, so that's actually an easy thing for him.
No.
So, Matt, can you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, I've been a police officer here at UCSB for about 10 years, and before that, I was a UCSB student, so I have had some growing pains learning the bike ways myself, and I've always been active in the bicycling community out here. I was a CSO, so I dealt with a lot of bike issues from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And now as a police officer, I try to be the department's guru for all the bike-related and skateboard-related matters, and I study this stuff, and I work with a lot of the programming that our department does related to bikes and skates, and I try to liaison with different organizations, and you'll see me out there all the time. I'm active just in terms of education enforcement, both in Isla Vista, but primarily on campus.
Matt is super friendly. It's one of these type of guys that if you see an officer out there, hey, walk up to him and say, hi, are you Matt? He'd love to talk to people. Just talk, talk, talk. That's what Matt does.
Well, I try to be. My whole goal every time I talk to people is just to, you know, remind them that I'm a part of the community and that I'm a human being, and then also, you know, at the same time, educate, because I really care about making the community a safer place. And that really kind of does start, even at the small stuff, we don't talk about bike issues enough, and people get hurt on these bikes, and those are community members I care about. And it's a lot more people than people think.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been here a long time, and I've seen it since I've been here. Bikes have always been an issue. In fact, if I remember correctly, it was about 1992 or 3. Somewhere in there, there was 2020 actually had a segment on Isla Vista and UCSB and the bike problems out here. So this has been an ongoing issue for years. And is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What's your thought?
I actually think in a lot of ways it's not getting worse, and that's a good thing because it could be getting worse. Our population continues to get larger, but our numbers kind of stay pretty stagnant, which is a good thing. I think there's some people that recognize in the community that this is an issue, and they take a little bit more concern and care, and I think that's a good thing. I think there's some awareness growing.
And I've been involved in a lot of the meetings, and I talk about different ways of trying to make it better in Isla Vista and some of the struggles that have been with just the layout of the community and how it interacts with UCSB. Bikes are such an integral part of Isla Vista and the commuting into Isla Vista, as well as into UCSB, as well as into Goleta, Santa Barbara. Bikes are just, they're a great tool. They're a great thing to have, and they're fun to ride. People love them, and they're important for a lot of people. But because they're so important and they're such a big part of this community, there's a ton of them. And as the student populations grow and Isla Vista in itself will grow, we're going to see more and more bikes. So how do we control that? How do we deal with those issues? And there's no one simple answer.
No, it's definitely an extremely large challenge. It continues to get challenging every year. The population does grow. There's a culture. And I know we'll talk about that in a little bit, but the culture isn't necessarily a safety-based culture. And it is an issue. I don't mean to take away from all the other types of injuries that people experience that potentially, you know, on campus, whether it's alcohol related or other. But every year, a handful of people, you know, end up having to drop out of school for a quarter or not come back because of these injuries.
Yeah. And I've witnessed many, and people think, oh, it's a bike accident, you fall over, it's not a big deal, you get a bump and bruise, get up. You know, we've all gone through that growing up and learning how to ride bikes. The truth is that I've been on numerous, and I hate to say it, but numerous accidents involving skulls being cracked open, and not to be gory, but seeing things that are just, well, gory. It's bikes can be very dangerous, especially when you start intermixing bikes and cars.
Right.
And with Isla Vista, that's one of the big issues we have, is that you have all these roadways and the bikes are all over there, and the cars are need to use those roadways as well, especially during peak hours. During business hours, you have other people besides students and local community members, but you have other people coming into Isla Vista that are workers or people that are doing jobs out here that have to be here. So there has to be this intermix, but it's a challenge. How do we make it better so it's safer? And let's just bring up, let's the golden goose right now of problems. Well, golden goose, probably not the right thing to say, but you know, it's the issue of the day would be a simple one, like Del Norte and Pardal. That is just a horrible intersection when it comes down to, especially on the hour in between classes, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of bikes crossing, and you have a lineup of cars that start backing up, and they're trying to squeeze through every little gap. And we've had quite a few accidents, and it's just, it's a dangerous intersection. Well, how do we deal with something like that?
Yeah, no, that's a tough issue, because you have a lot of people that want to prioritize the, for themselves to that intersection. There's a lot of safety issues. My personal scare for the bicyclists is the cars that wait patiently for so long before they get aggravated and then floor it through the intersection.
Yeah.
You know, I would point out that there's been about 20 bike accidents in that intersection in a little over a decade with injury. And unfortunately...
Well, let's also be realistic. 20 reported.
Reported, right. Exactly.
Now, if you just talk about reported, because quite honestly, I would say probably 9 out of 10 bikes have accidents. Don't go to the police. Don't file a report. They just kind of get up, brush themselves off, go to the hospital, get checked out, make sure I'm okay, and move on.
Right.
You see bike accidents left and right. Stand at any traffic circle at the university, and you'll see people bump into each other, fall over. Oh. Well, those are accidents.
If you ride these bikeways, you'll probably see an accident almost every day out here. And student health reports somebody coming in for a bike accident almost every day as well. So we know that that's, you know, probably true. But you know, going back to Del Mar and Del Norte, I tell everybody, hey, when it's a bike versus a car, the car always wins. And
it's physics.
It is. It's physics. Yeah. Mass times acceleration. It's just going to hurt. So
equals ouch.
Ouch. Yeah. It takes more than a Band-Aid to fix an ouch in these cases. And
yes. I've seen all sorts of accidents out here. Mm-hmm. Everything from just, you know, minor bumps and bruises, people falling over, it hurts, they get up the way, to people through windshields.
Windshields, yeah.
And it's a horrible experience for somebody who goes through that trauma. It's not a fun situation. And looking at Isla Vista, looking at the intersection at Del Norte and Del Mar and Pardal there, how do we make that better? Well, they've talked a lot of different ways about different things they can do there. And one of the current plans is to put in stoplights. Now, people are upset about that. They're saying, wait a second, stoplights aren't going to work. They're not effective. But we have to do something. And
we have to
figure out how do we make that effective. I was privileged to be part of some of the meetings with Doreen Farr, and this was a very critical point for her when she was a third district supervisor, is recognizing that issue, and specifically in those intersections, how bad it had gotten. And it's only getting worse with more bikes coming into the area. So she really struggled to say, we need to do something. We need to move a step forward with this problem and come up with a solution that will work. So at the table, it's the Sheriff's Department, the CHP, the University Police Department, plus numerous other community members. And they talked about different ideas and different ways of controlling the intersection there. They went everything from, could we put up, you know, people to post there and let cars through or help direct traffic? People don't get paid attention to when they're in that situation. So that really is an effective solution. Plus, you'd have to pay people to be there, what, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Well, there's a crowd control issue. I mean, we know that, or we can estimate that about 30 to 40,000 trips a day on bicyclists probably go through that intersection. So how does one person manage a giant crowds like that? I mean, you can't have somebody manage crowds at Disneyland, and those numbers are probably smaller at an intersection
than
what we have through. So
yeah, I would not envy the person that got put in that spot.
No.
So they talked from there. Okay, well, that won't work. Next stop is, well, can we put stop signs? Well, let's talk about stop signs in Isla Vista and how effective they are.
Right.
I'd say, let's see, not effective?
No, they're not even, from my experience, most people don't even treat them like a yield sign. I mean, they just kind of go through them. There's this myth in Isla Vista that bicyclists always have the right of way, or the bicyclists will always be seen. And, you know, it's not true. You're your grandmother comes to visit you and she comes in through your town and she's never experienced IV culture before. And her anticipation is that bicyclists will stop at the stop sign. Or maybe, you know, she doesn't have great vision or whatever, but she goes through that intersection. She's not expecting anybody to run through that stop sign. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people that they're on their cell phones or they're paying attention to their music or not really watching what's going around. And they just kind of buzz through the stop sign saying, well, this is Isla Vista. This is the way things are. And it's okay. Good bikes rule all. Well, that's one of those myths. Bikes don't rule all.
No, they don't. In fact, when CHP comes out and takes a report based on the statistics that I've read, it's close to 90% of the traffic collisions the bicyclist is actually found at fault of these traffic collisions when they hit cars. So the national average is 50%. We're at 90% for our bicyclists.
Right. And I think that really comes down to that's just a pure numbers game, the number of bikes out there. And it also comes into the fact that you have the culture. And how do we change that culture to get people to start understanding that stop signs are important, to slow down? Are we going to get everybody to stop at every stop sign? I'm realistic. You know, yeah, that'd be perfect. Everybody obeys the law perfectly and we all do it and oh, great, wonderful world. But, you know, let's talk reality here. Okay, I don't expect everybody's going to stop at every stop sign. But if the average biker would actually slow down, look both ways and make sure, hey, it's okay for me to go through before they zip on through and not just continue full speed, that itself would be a huge change in the culture.
Yeah, so I struggle with this a little bit myself, and I agree with you. I don't think it's practical. We're not going to get bicycles to stop at stop signs. So what I try to impart when I teach our bicycle safety class on campus is I ask them to take away two things. One is always worry about your safety. Always watch for yourself, you know. And then two, be respectful of others. So what that does is you come to a stop sign and there's a car already there. You stop because you're going to let the car go by because that's being respectful, right? If you know, get into a collision, you don't flee from the scene of the collision because that's being respectful. And if you're respectful, you'll do things that are helpful to the community, like signal and check on people and stuff. So I'm talking about taking care of your community also involves following the rules of the road a little bit, but taking care of your safety first.
And it takes a lot of culture change and education to make that happen. And how do we go about doing that? Now, I'll speak from experience is that back in the day when we originated the bike program, we had an intersection at it was El Colegio and Stadium Road as you entered into the campus. And that intersection there, I would say it was poorly designed. It was just the way it was designed, bikes and pedestrians intermixed in the crosswalk. And that was a major safety issue. Pedestrians would get hit. The bikes would be weaving among pedestrians. Pedestrians would actually be forced into the roadway outside the safety of the crosswalk just to avoid the bikes. So we had a major problem there. So we did several things. First of all, the university spent time redesigning the intersection. That takes years. It takes anywhere from 4 to 6 years to plan, organize, create it, get the funding together, and redo an intersection. It's not a simple task. We'll just plop and do it. It actually takes a lot of effort for these groups to get together and do that. So we had to look at it from an educational standpoint. How can we make this intersection safer? So we created bike programs. We created situations where we'd have to go out. And fortunately, we'd provide education, but that doesn't always work. Just warning people doesn't work. So we had to also go out and write citations. And it took actually about 3 years of education at that intersection before the culture changed and before people actually were really good about watching the intersection, being more careful with it. And of course, 2 years later, they fixed the intersection and it wasn't a problem anymore.
Right. And that's how it works sometimes.
Yes. And that kind of circles back into the issue of Embarcadero del Norte and Embarcadero del Mar and Pardal Road. So just as a reminder, this is Inside IV at KCSB, and we are here talking about bike safety, bike issues, and the problems we're facing in Isla Vista with those issues, and what options do we have to make it better out there. So the goal here, let's go back to, again, the intersection of Embarcadero del Mar and Del Norte and Pardal. So we talked about stop signs, and they talked about, well, how could we use those, and would people pay attention to it? Unfortunately, right now, we're kind of in an atmosphere where they won't work. Bikes will continue to pile up. And even if the bikes stopped at the stop signs, you'd have a few bikes stop and then start to go. And then you have a few more right at the same time arrive. And it'd be this endless cycle of bikes stopping, going, stopping, going, stopping, going. And the cars would still be in the same situation. In fact, it'd just create more confusion because cars would have right away, but yet all these bikes are still crossing.
Right.
Mass confusion.
Right.
So we can't do that.
No.
Stop signs would not work.
Not at all.
Other option was traffic circle. Would a traffic circle work? So they actually looked and they had the planners go out there and could they fit a traffic circle in there? And they said, it's possible. But would a traffic circle work with cars and bikes?
I've seen some designs out there that might work, but I don't think that intersection is large enough. And I'm not an engineer. We want to look at ways that we can continue the flow of bikes on the campus, because we recognize there's way more bikes crossing that intersection than cars. But we have to prioritize safety over expediency. So the traffic circle is probably not going to work there.
No, and you have to look at the issue for me when I looked at the traffic circle and we talked about it, is that you're going to have cars merging, trying to cross Pardal. So they're not going to be kind of merging and circling around. They're going to be merging and crossing straight across, which means we're still going to have the bikes crossing, doing the same thing along Pardal. It's still bike on car. It's not a smooth merge.
Right. And I know from experience, because you look at our campus, we separate our bicycles from our pedestrians, from our cars, because we know that's the best way to keep everybody safe.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So they looked at the traffic circle. It's a good idea. Unfortunately, just doesn't seem to work with the number of bikes and the number of cars intermixing. That wasn't going to be a good idea. So what were we left with? Well, stoplight.
Yes, it was a stoplight.
Stoplight was kind of the last option there. Okay, can we look at stoplights? My philosophy was, when we talked about it, is that bikes, if you look at other intersections with stoplights in our area, they tend to obey stoplights a lot more. Not 100%.
No,
it's not 100%. Can't guarantee that. But people see stoplights, they see red light go on, and they know, hey, that means somebody's going to be going across. Mm-hmm. It's something instinctive, I think, in people to at least slow down and watch, and, oh my God, somebody's going to cross in front of me. So in my mind, that's creating at least more of a signal, a warning signal, to let the cross traffic go and see what's happening before you cross that intersection.
Well, I agree with you. We have a famous saying for people who drive in California and come up to stop signs. It's called a California roll, because they roll stop signs. But there's no such thing for a California light. You know, so they do tend to stop at the stoplight.
That's a $700
accident there. That's a very expensive ticket. Yes. So I agree. That I think that there's more likelihood for success there.
Yes, and it by itself is not going to be the solution. You still have to go into the education portion of it, and that what was talked about with the CHP, with the Sheriff's Department, and the University Police Department, is that a big chunk of a light going in there would be a large segment of our efforts going towards educating people about what that means. What does a stoplight mean to the pedestrians? What does it mean to the bicyclists? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to the vehicles crossing there? And doing advertising, going out there, flyers, whatever it takes to get the word out to people, hey, this is what it is. At some point, though, we do have to look at violations being getting tickets.
Right.
And nobody likes to get a ticket. Nobody likes tickets.
No.
And that kind of goes to one of the issues we have with, I can make a myth as far as bikes and cars and tickets, is that, bike tickets aren't a big deal. Well,
they can be.
They can be a very big deal.
They're still a traffic ticket.
Yes. And you get a bike ticket in Isla Vista, that is actually a vehicle code violation going through a red light. It's the same code violation as a car going through a red
light. It's written exactly the same way. It goes to the same place. It's dealt with in the same manner.
Yes, and it's recorded on your driving record as well. Mm-hmm. So it'll show that you received a stop sign violation or a red light ticket. And those are very expensive. So before that happens, though, that is the last resort. Everybody agreed that, it may have to happen at some point, but that would be the last resort.
Right.
Got to have that education effort going forward.
Well, and that's why education is so important, because not only for the things you spoke about, but I think it's just the right thing to do. I mean,
absolutely.
As police officers and community members, we don't want to see anybody penalized if we can help it. We just want to keep the community safe, and that intersection is problematic, and we just want to address it in ways that we can help everybody out if we can. And the last thing we want to do is write a citation.
Right. My ultimate goal in my dream fantasy world.
Okay. Here it comes.
I won't go into the real one, but as far as the fantasy world for Isla Vista that I have, is that the bikes and cars and pedestrians all, they find some happy median where we can all kind of realize that, hey, bikes are going to probably be rolling through stop signs, cars have to be cautious of that, but at the same time, the bicyclists are aware and slow down. It's really difficult when you're sitting there, especially if I'm sitting in a patrol car and a bike just blows right through a stop sign in front of me. It's frustrating, because it's like, I could have hit you. You could have gone down.
Right.
I'm not just thinking of, he's just getting where he's going. I'm thinking of the possible consequences of that if I wasn't paying attention, or if I ran into him or somebody else ran into him.
Right.
They end up in the hospital. They end up not so much a ticket. Who cares about a ticket? I'm more worried about your health and your safety.
Right. And if you change the culture out there by whatever means that you do that's appropriate, you hopefully reduce those accidents. So, I mean, that's the main goal.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's my dream world. And someday maybe we'll get to the happy median. Mm-hmm. And I really hope we do. There's many residents out here that have been out here for, 20, 30 years, 40 years, that have seen the growth, have seen the changes. And there's a lot of great things happening in Isla Vista. We cannot take away from that. We have to recognize that all the things happening with look at Pardal. Look how much that's changed over the years.
It's incredibly beautiful now. And, I mean, it's just the business district.
Yes.
It's just it's a nice place to hang out now.
Right. And now we have, of course, community self-governance going on. Now, that's another great thing. You have great opportunities for folks to now step in and have more of a say what's happening in Isla Vista. These are opportunities that we have that we can look at, okay, where is Isla Vista going? What direction do we need to go with it? And I think the fact that if we get groups like the community district involved, have them sit down and say, okay, what else can we do? How else can we take control of our city and make it safer?
Right.
And recognize that bike issues are a major problem for Isla Vista and what we need to do to make our community safe.
And I'm going to throw out the opportunity just to kind of plug our agency and California Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department, because we're always looking for more partners and more opportunities and more ideas. Like CHP, for example, we did the Ivy Lux. Well, I mean, CHP, UCPD, AS Bikes, and many other stakeholders to give out free lights as part of education to try to make differences in the culture. And we're always open to those kinds of ideas and trying to find new inroads.
And that's absolutely an excellent point. And it's one of the things that people, I think, kind of have an image of law enforcement. We want to write tickets, and we're just going to go out there and bust people, write tickets. And that is part of our job, but that's not actually what we'd rather do. I'd much rather be out there talking with people, coming up with solutions, and having a good time with the community, making it a safer place, than out there writing tickets. Cops, I'll tell you, from our department experience, is that I can't think of one cop in our department that enjoys writing a bike ticket.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, so much more goes involved before those tickets come out, before we start writing those tickets. There's so much more involvement in terms of just, we look at the engineering and we look at the education opportunities, and then we do the warnings, and it's just, there's so much more.
Yes, and we need to hear from the public. They need to be a part
Absolutely.
Of that, and if they can give us that information and help us out with that, that's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Making Inside Isla Vista a part of the community, make the community is a great thing when it comes together, we come up with solutions together. That's what we like. So we got to wrap it up. We're running out of time. The lady with all the power in the booth is saying that it is over for today. I had a great time. Matt, thank you for
bringing
here.
No, thank you for bringing me along. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And, of course, thanks to Lisa for running the show and helping us stay here. Well, this is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. Tune in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to find out what's happening inside Isla Vista and catch up on past episodes on SoundCloud.com. Search for KCSB-FM. I'm Mark Signa with the UCPD, and thanks for joining us tonight on Inside Isla Vista. This Inside Isla Vista on 99.9 KFM KCSB. I blew that one right there. Our theme music is Siesta by Jazzer. Next week, we're going to be having Dick Flax with Ethan Beltran. Welcome. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great time. Yeah.